Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. And remember, that is on any electronic device. We have many talk shows for you to take advantage of. If you would like to connect with me during this hour or my guest, if you would have any questions or would like to make any comments, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. We have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. They are located in LaRue, Ohio, and their telephone number 740-262-0939. Usually, I open up the program with the thought for today, and since we're on the same vein as we were yesterday, I will continue this trend of thought for today. The value of optimism. When faced with problems, it can seem difficult to maintain inner cheer. The mind gets caught up with more and more negativity, fear, or worry, which I'm sure a lot of us are right now today, in fear or worrying, right, Jeff?
Worried.
Because of this, the problem seems bigger than it is. Maybe. I guess that depends on whose opinion.
Yeah, like, you know, when you're laying in your bed, you start to go out, drift off to sleep, and you get that feeling like the room's real big and you're real small.
Right.
It's a strange feeling. Everybody gets it.
That's true. That's true. And we lose the ability to find solutions and work constructively. And we hopefully can find some solutions that we can work constructively. The first step I need to take when I recognize a problem is to smile to myself. When I make sure I am happy within, I know that every situation will pass and has something to teach me. Then I will find solutions come more quickly and easily. I want you to hold on to that trend of thought, the value of optimism, because we're living in a day where we need to be optimistic and we need to find some type of solutions to our problems, which are many, not just as a people or a nation, but worldwide. Everything seems to be going downward.
Sometimes it depends on how you look at it. Sometimes,
right,
you
right.
know, there are other things happening. Benny Hinn says that he has repented of the prosperity doctrine.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He's gotten a little bit older now, and I think he's beginning to think about he might have to face God, you know.
Oh, might? You think he might have to face God?
Yeah, he might have to. You know, even Benny Hinn.
Okay, the voice you hear is Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days, our doomsday prophet here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And we're talking about the year that was, even though we're in the last day of December 31st, 2019, tomorrow embarks a new year.
Yeah.
January 1st, 2020. And what do we have to look forward to? We want to move on from regrets and unforgiveness. We want to be able to forgive others so that we can go through the new year afresh and anew. Right, Jeff?
I'm doing better at that, forgiving.
Well, great. Great. So you get.
I've come a long way.
Right.
To put it that way.
So that means you're becoming more like Christ, huh?
I hope so. Yes, that's our goal.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Well, our big question yesterday was, and I still have this question, I don't question the right of Americans to carry arms.
Right. We were talking about mass shootings, yes.
Yes. And in this day and age, you know, it seems even more pertinent. But Jesus did give the command, do not return evil for evil.
Yes, he did say that.
Yes. And if a man slap you on the left cheek, turn him the other also. God. He told Peter, when Peter took out his sword, he cut the guy's ear off. Jesus put the guy's ear back on.
And told Peter to put up.
About that.
Yeah, I bet he was. He told Peter, put up that sword. If you live by the sword, you what?
Die by the sword. So, yeah. Are we making things worse by fighting back?
I don't know. And people are probably saying or thinking, well, Jesus is not here right now today, and we have to defend for ourselves. And I think that we as a people, or as people, period, feel like retaliation is mine or revenge is mine. You know, that's why when you have the right to bear arms, you're packed and loaded, ready to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, we always want to go with practical solution.
True. First.
But I don't think it's always the practical solution is always the thing to do. I remember times like at work and stuff where people did nasty things, and I wanted to, you know, do something nasty back. I had some stuff in mind, and the Holy Spirit just kept warning me, no, don't be going after them with that, you know?
Right. It must have been pretty nasty, huh?
I can think of some things, you know. And the Lord eventually did take care of that person, you know?
Right.
Sometimes, you know, Satan's always coming up with something, you know? And
yes.
If you start fighting back, where does it end?
Right. And we were talking about the mass shootings, not just in the schools or in the supermarkets, department stores that we go to, or subways. I mean, there have been. Even in churches. That's what we were mainly talking about at the end of the program yesterday. And what are we to do as parishioners? How do we expect our pastors and some of the security to protect us while we're in church? Are we comfortable in church?
I am. I don't worry about, you know, death is not really a big concern, really. Death, I don't mind. I would mind getting wounded to where you're laying in a nursing home or something.
And you never know. Like that last shooting, two people were killed, but many were injured.
Yeah.
Many.
And, you know, you sit there and I can sit here and talk this stuff, but these people are going home, and they no longer have their mother's gone, their sister, their daughters, you know, their boyfriends, girlfriends, are dead because of this mass shooter. And you know, what would I be thinking about? Well, now I'm gonna go get me a gun, you know. Probably. You know, but I've read some of these episodes of those, like. Blood of the Martyrs, such as those type of publications it comes from. And I use the people overseas a lot for an example, because there's so many countries with miserable antichrist type of dictatorships, governments, and they, like Russia, for instance. Now, I don't know how bad they are now, but they used to be like hardcore atheists. And you will be an atheist whether you like it or not. You know, they kicked out not just Christianity, but all religions. And they would torture, you know, capture people if they catch them with a Bible, or especially if they're handing out Bibles or something like that. They would take them to prison and torture them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And which, Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand, tells that story, and it's absolutely, I can't even, I've got a video at home, I can't even watch it, and it doesn't even show that much, but it's enough to make me cringe, you know, to think that here they are torturing Christians, And that's good old Satan. That's what he thinks of God, you know.
That's true.
That's his way of getting back at God. So, well, I think we had better give it some thought and not just go flying into this idea that we're supposed to fight back with weapons against these mass shooters, these public shooters, because of Jesus' command.
Now, would that change the intent of going to church? Would that hinder our worship?
I don't know. Would it? Do you think?
You know, I think the more that this continues to happen, whether we can stop it or not, whether we can come up with a solution or not, no matter how many people are armed against what may be coming through the doors, or it has to be on your mind when you go to church. Eventually it will. It will begin to probably hinder people from going to church. And those that are there, they're always got their mind on the door. Who's in here? Who's around here loaded or whatever, you know. I may be wrong about this, and I don't know if any of you have an opinion about it. And if you do and would like to share or make a comment, please call 740-383-9944. And we're talking about mass shootings, and not just specifically mass shootings, but mass shootings in the churches.
Yeah. The one that got to me was, as far as the church shooting is concerned, is the one in Texas. How long ago was that? A couple years ago?
I don't know. It's been that long, has it?
It's a small church, maybe 35 people, they said. And the guy came in there and he killed everybody in that church, even babies. And then there was a guy that lived in a housing project not too far away that heard the shooting going on and brought his own gun and chased him down and shot him as he was running away. And so he didn't completely get away with. That's another thing is, you know, these shooters are willing to give their lives in these situations. They're not even planning on trying to escape, most of them.
The thing of it is, ask me if I'm willing to give up mine. Just don't come and shoot me.
Yeah.
Because you don't care whether you live or die.
Yeah.
I do. You know? And I think that's the thing that bothers me. Now, if you want to kill yourself, have at it. But
yeah,
don't take it for granted that I want to lose my life because you want to lose yours.
Well, no amount of reasoning seems to reach them, you know. And I will start thinking, wow, there hasn't been a mass shooting for quite a while. Maybe it's all over with now, you know. And then, boom, as soon as I think that, very next day, another one takes place, you know?
Yeah, and they're not too far in between anymore.
No.
They're coming more rapidly. You know, people are getting more bold about it. It's becoming normal.
Normal.
Is that a good thing?
I don't think so.
It's becoming normal. And as I shared earlier, Jeff, he's the prophet of the last days.
Is that for us?
Caller, you are on the air? Hello? Hold on.
I think Terry's talking to that person.
Okay. All right. Well, caller, please call back if you wanted to make a comment on the show. Okay. All right. Well, I think I pushed the wrong button.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I pushed the wrong button. Here it comes again. Let's try it again.
Sounds like we got him.
All right.
Got him back.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Linda. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Linda, this is Pastor Steve. I was just calling in. You'd asked if anybody had an opinion. And I'm not sure I want to give an opinion, but I thought that I would just toss something out there.
Well, great.
All right?
Yeah.
And it's this. It's interesting. You know, when I was a teenager, and I guess I'm kind of old, but I'm going back to the late 1970s, so I guess I am pretty old. But anyway, not only did you not hear of mass shootings, but it's real interesting. We used to carry our, of course, a lot of us being rural kids, we hunted a lot. We were sportsmen, mm-hmm. and we grew up as sportsmen with our families. And we would carry our guns to school and put them, leave them in our cars, our trucks, and go hunting with our friends after school. And I've shared before with people that it was very interesting. You know, I rode a school bus part of the time, and I would, of course, not have it loaded, but I would bring my 410 shotgun, and I would leave it behind the bus driver's seat, and when I would get to school, we'd put it in my locker, and that, you know, the principal or teachers or whoever were there would say, you know, you just make sure you leave that there. I don't want to see that in your locker till school's over.
Right.
And, you know, we would go, and there was never a problem, but I guess the point I'm trying to make is that that seems so bizarre to people today. People think that's the craziest thing they've ever heard. That back in that day, it wasn't so. And even in my son graduated around that, 2000, maybe 2001. But anyway, in his graduating group of kids in school, mm-hmm. They still would have them in, like, the back window of their pickup truck because they went hunting and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's only been 20 years ago. But, you know, it's amazing to me that so many people aren't seeing the change in our society that has gotten it to this point where life is not becoming something precious anymore.
No, it's not.
You know, sir, I think that's even more of a concern than the guns themselves. And
Because not only isn't life not precious when it comes to a gun, life's not precious when it comes to how we treat one another, how we take care of each other, whether the drug issue has just gotten so, so bad. We had the same drugs back then.
True.
Yeah.
Right.
And it is, life is, and I'm going to give you one little key and I'll get off here.
Okay.
You don't have to rush.
There was one thing that I always had as a young person, and I went through some difficult times of my own, and where I could have gone either way. But one thing I always had was hope, and that hope was because I knew that there was a living God that loved me.
Yes.
And even if I wasn't ready for Him, He was always going to be ready for me.
That's right.
That's
Amen.
And our society today, it doesn't. As a whole, I'm not talking about, I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush, but our society today, these kids are not raised in knowing who God is and knowing that God loves them and He's there for them.
That's right.
And when hard times hit, they just, many of them have been raised in their bedrooms with video games and not even raised by parents when it comes to interaction. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any hope. And when things go south, when things are ugly, they think, what's the use? You know, there's no hope. And I think that if we're going to solve this problem, and Linda, you said a few minutes ago, you know, I don't know what the answer is. Why a lot of us feel that way, but there is one thing that is the answer. If we start giving people hope,
yes.
If we start letting them know they have hope, and that there is a God that loves them,
yes,
and that they don't have to seclude themselves into some world in their mind that is, as you know, if we don't give our kids direction, trust me, the evil part of the world will.
Yes, it will.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
And you know that's where our answer lies, and it's just we must start moving in that direction. And rather than, you know, people are going to kill each other if they want to kill each other. I don't care if there's not a gun left in the world.
That's true.
You know, they can do the same. They can do a mass killing with a 5-gallon can of gas and a match, just as easy as they can do it with a gun or numerous other things.
That's true.
And you know, a lot of time the argument is, well, you know, if you get this drug off the street, they'll just start doing another one. It's kind of that same kind of argument,
right? Yeah.
The point is, people have to get changed at a heart level.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And And until we stop being afraid to share our faith, and until we stop saying enough is enough, you're not going to teach our children that God doesn't exist.
Yes.
I think that it's not going to get better. But anyway, that's my two cents. You guys are having a great show tonight, and I'll be in there in a few minutes.
All
we'll
right.
See ya.
Thank
Happy
you.
New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for that call, Pastor Steve. Yes, and I'm sure it not only touched your heart and mind, but many other people who are listening, because it is a great concern in our nation. The mass shootings and how things are going on in this world today. But I agree with you. If we can't give them anything else, we can give them Jesus.
You know, I heard somebody say that we didn't, but you think about back then, we had almost complete freedom to talk about Christ or anything else we wanted to in school. Then all of a sudden, Madeleine Murray O'Hare changed all that for mm-hmm. us. Went to court and said that we're no longer allowed to pledge allegiance and have
the Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer. And the thing is, and now some Christians say what they're doing is they're not allowing any forced religion in the schools. But we've all seen these lawsuits and stuff the school put up a plaque of the Ten Commandments or something and end up in court. And take it down. Yeah.
Yeah, take it down.
Force them to take it down. And so you take God out. This is a perfect example
mm-hmm.
of where if you take God out of the schools,
true.
Guess who comes in?
The enemy comes
that
in.
That guy with the horns.
Right. And he's already there, but he can gain more power by keeping Christ out.
Right.
Or the knowledge of him out.
He's the one that thought it up in the first place.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. Touching the hearts and minds of men. He's a prince of the power of the air, so he can send suggestions.
Right.
You know.
He can call from the sidelines.
Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can.
It's
I really,
up to us to ignore it.
Right. And I thank him so much for that call. That
yes,
he just
that
gave
was
us.
Just really excellent, wasn't
yes, it?
It
was. Yes, it was.
Really
and it was right
that.
On point.
Can you imagine going to school and, I brought my shotgun. I'll just set it over here.
Not
on
today.
The school bus, you know. But
not today.
No. But, you know, back then, nobody even thought about
no,
it.
No, we never paid it any attention. It
nobody was shooting
wasn't
anybody.
Even a concern. No.
No.
Because the intent was different.
Yeah.
See, the intent of the mind, it has changed. And it's about, so-and-so spoke rude to me and hurt my feelings, so I'm going to take my gun.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get my revenge. So
Boom.
The intent is different. Back then, they was taking guns to school in their car because they were going to go hunting or what. They even had hunting days. I think when my dad used to go, he used to always go, his shotgun
yeah.
and all that, you know, shooting rabbits and stuff.
I used to go with my dad go hunting.
Quails, you know,
yeah.
pheasants. They did that, you know, back in the day. But we never considered. Okay.
I never thought about it.
No, not the way it is portrayed to us today.
No.
And I thought about when he was talking about Christ is always ready to meet me, and we have to have that mind. No matter how we leave this world, Christ is ready to meet me, and I need to be ready to meet him. And my question out there is, are you ready to meet Christ at any
Very.
Moment and any time? Are your children ready to meet Christ?
Wow, yeah.
You know,
That's
you your
question.
Your children need to be ready to meet Christ at any time.
Yes.
They're the ones in these schools going to school. They may be even in the churches, and someone comes in there with a gun and wants to have their way in the congregation. Are your children ready to meet Christ?
That's right. But, you know, either your name is written in the book of life or it isn't.
True.
You know, and
True.
We're talking about eternity here. Where are you going to spend eternity?
Right. Are your children ready? You need to be concerned about your children, even if you're not. If you're not concerned about yourself, you need to be concerned about your children. You know, God, Christ came that all would be saved. He knew all would not be saved. He understood what was in man, and that was also evil, and that all would not come to him. But the door is open.
Mm-hmm.
His arms are outreached, and he's saying, come to me.
Well, it's incidents like this, these mass shootings, that cause us to bring up these questions.
And we need to bring up these questions.
And they need to be constantly brought up.
Yes.
Until we start realizing that we need God's help.
Yes, we do.
You know, we are a country that, for some odd reason, us people tend to be like that farmer that said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with all my grain. I've got so much grain and so much extra this and that. I think I'll just put it in these big barns.
Yeah, he was building silos, to hold his stuff.
He said, well, just take it easy, my soul.
Right.
But
the Lord said what?
You're being a fool.
Today, your life is required of you. Now who's going to use all that stuff that you stored up?
Whose is it now? It's not yours.
Nope, because you can't take it with you when you leave here. And I also thought about when Christ appeared after the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
To the Israelites. I think this is in Revelation, maybe. And he shows his nail-scarred hands. And they say, well, where did you get these wounds? And he's going to say, in the house of my friends.
Mm.
You remember that scripture, right? I was just trying to get it up, but my phone kept turning off. No, not Thomas. It was...
I don't know where that is.
Well, let me ask Google.
I remember him, Thomas, the skeptic saying, show me your nail-scarred hands,
Yes.
And he said, my Lord and my God.
Well, I'm going to try not to lose it this time.
Well, the point is, and this generation, too, you start talking to them. I used to hand out tracts, and you start talking to them about Christ. And they've got every reason and every question and every skepticism to avoid accepting Christ. Mm-hmm. And I can only come up with so many solutions when I'm out there handing out tracts. And I don't know, they just think they're so clever.
Zechariah.
Okay.
13:6. Zechariah 13:6 is the scripture I'm looking for. And it's after, I think this is more or less Revelation when Jesus Christ returns.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did die for the whole world.
Uh-huh.
That they would believe on him and be saved. But God understands everyone will not receive him and be saved.
No.
But you can be. You can receive Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin. Not forcing you to do anything. This is just reality that's going on in our world today. Just like our food poisoning, they're pulling food off the shelves because the lettuce isn't good. The tomatoes are contaminated. What about our water? Every time you turn around, there's a water main breaking. Not only that, the water is full of copper or lead we are just living in a day where there are no absolutes, no promises. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a day that we live in.
That was Zechariah.
Zechariah 13:6. Mm-hmm. And Jeff is going to read that scripture to you. And
Zechariah 13.
And
13 what?
6. You see it?
Well,
do you say
it? Sort of like what you were talking about. And I shall be in that day that every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. They will not wear a robe of coarse hair to deceive. But he will say, I am no prophet, I am a farmer. For a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.
What translation are you reading from?
New King James.
New King James. Okay. New International Version says, if someone asks, what are these wounds on your body? They will answer, the wounds I have given at the house of my friends. King James Version may read it a little differently. Okay. What he's saying is, like people say, well, who was responsible for Christ's death?
And the whole world, really.
Right, the whole world.
I know, people want to blame the Jews.
Yeah, they want to. And these are the people that he came to, right? The Jews.
Jesus said a prophet has honor except in his own country, except amongst his own friends.
Okay.
So I believe that's really what it's saying. But, you know, there are people that come along and blame the Jews. And this is what the anti-Semitism is. You know, the anti-Jewish attitude is, a lot of it is because they blame the Jews for the death of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But they're wrong. I'm sorry to say they're wrong. He died for all.
Yes, he did.
And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he had to die for everyone in order for some people to have the opportunity to enter into heaven. And so it doesn't make any sense. First of all, if he hadn't done that, then we wouldn't have that opportunity. And so to be mad at the Jews because Jesus was crucified, you should be glad that Jesus was crucified. He followed in obedience and spilled his blood to show us how much he loves us and to give us entrance into heaven.
That was a fate that he came to meet. He came to meet that fate. And that struck my mind when you was talking earlier as far as, are we ready to meet Christ?
That's right. The only way we can be ready is to accept him as Savior.
He's ready to meet you, but are you ready to meet him? Because these wounds that he received amongst his friend, we all receive wounds amongst our friends.
Yeah.
Even if you're in church service and someone comes in willing to take your life and anybody else's life that they can get to first.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But these are people that we may see every day.
Well, you know, these people coming in and shooting up a church. That's obviously Satan. And he's trying to scare everybody so they won't go to church.
That's true. That's true. Now, this I wanted to bring up, too. The pestilence and disease. Now, we're talking about end times today. And what today, how we can portray these two similar together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Because they say now that the flu epidemic has killed so many thousands, like 30-something thousands of people.
Oh, wow.
And they're estimated. It's supposed to be an estimation of this flu season. A strain that is different from the flu shot.
Mm. My.
So that's like pestilence and diseases. Ebola, how that has come out. Yeah. And
AIDS.
Yeah, AIDS in Africa. And especially that Ebola. That's supposed to be a big killer there, that Ebola. And it says there has been a dramatic drop in the birds and insects. Like 3 billion fewer.
And we're talking about the bees. Honeybees are starting to disappear.
Yes.
So, there goes our honey population.
Not only that, they were saying they're leaving or dying at alarming rates.
Really?
The birds, yeah, and insects. Everything that God created has a purpose.
Yeah.
They may
it's
get
in
on
the food chain.
Right, they may get on our nerves or be a pest to us, but they have a purpose.
Yeah.
Even flies have a purpose, right?
Mosquitoes,
birds. So these are just end time things that's going on. Believe it or not.
Well, God is trying to get our attention.
True.
And they just absolutely refuse. They're totally distracted by the world. And that's what I hate to say, but I said it before, that America, we've just been too rich for too long. And we're a bunch of spoiled brats. And expect this and that to happen for us. But you know, no matter how rich you are, you're going to get sick and die someday.
That's true.
You know, the celebrities, we were talking about how many celebrities have died lately.
Right.
I was right. kind of surprised to hear when Neil Armstrong died. You know, mm-hmm. and we remember watching him go to the moon.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Yeah.
And he was such a nice, humble man. He right. believed in Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something they ought to take into consideration. You know, a lot of these scientists and astronauts and doctors and so on, they believe in Christ,
right.
a lot of them. Yet they still refuse to give the gospel any respect. You know, and that's the natural tendency of man to want to ignore God and go our own way. And you have the freedom to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there are consequences to everything.
Right.
Whether good or evil. And so I think about that all the time, you know. I'm so glad that God saved me from atheism. But you have to be willing to be saved.
Right.
You know, but I say, oh, I'm so glad. It's just such a relief to know that if I die today, I know my name is written in the book of life.
The Lamb's book of life.
You know.
Absolutely. And that should be our main concern.
Yeah.
Yeah, and our children. Because God has promised, you know, I'll bring your whole household, you know. But if the household isn't there, then there's no hope for our children. And people think, well, they're children. They don't know right from wrong. But you don't have to, when a baby comes into this world, you don't have to tell them what's wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's born in them. We're yeah. born in sin. We're born doing wrong things and thinking the wrong way, right? And doing the wrong things. We're born like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to just reconstruct them and lead them the right way. And Christ is the only way.
Well, Jesus said, narrow is the gate, straight is the way, and few there shall be that enter thereat. And that's becoming more and more true as the day gets later, as the nights get later.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But if you look in your book of Revelation, even with all the terrible, horrible judgments that come on the world, they still refuse Christ in the very end.
We're so self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. We have become our own God. Why would we need a God when we have everything we need? I can go to work. I can, my income, I can buy what I want, when I want, how I want. I can do what I want, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, who I want to do it with.
What happens when you get sick? What happens when you get fired?
And sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
It takes things like that to wake you up, like, well, you're not your own God.
It turns out to be a good thing.
Right. You know, pennies are not raining from heaven, you know, yeah. dollar bills, you know.
And, well, when you get sick.
Right.
I mean, you get really sick, you know.
Right.
The doctor says, well, I hate to tell you this, bud, but you got leukemia.
Yeah. Where's you know, the next cure at?
You yeah. know? You're in stage 4. Prosthetic cancer, you know. We can do some surgery and we can do some chemo, but I'm not sure how much good it's going to do at this point.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah. I can't. I'm like Pastor Steve that called in. I can't imagine where we are today. I never thought when I was growing up or even a younger adult that this is where we would be. But the scripture plainly says man will wax.
Worse and worse.
Worse and worse. The closer we get to the end of time.
I knew these days were coming. I didn't know the details.
You didn't know what it was going to look like.
I have felt the calling of prophecy
mm-hmm.
on my heart all my life.
Right.
But I remember coming across that book, 1984, whereas the world was under a miserable dictatorship. Of course, it's a novel, but I think there's a lot of truth in it. And, you know, they're even going to dictate to you who you can fall in love with, what kind of food you're going to eat,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
what kind of transportation you're going to use. None of it is yours, you know. The government controls it all, or Fahrenheit 451, which is the temperature at which supposedly books catch on fire.
True.
And that was a really good novel. I would strongly suggest that one. Whereas the firemen were not firemen who put out fires, but started fires in order to burn up books.
Right, right.
You know. So why are books such a big threat to them?
Well, that's where knowledge is.
Yeah.
And if you want to keep something away from whoever, your children or a sect of people, That's where all the wisdom and knowledge is, in books. Just keep them away from books.
Yeah.
Just keep them away from books, because
that way we won't be having these people over here thinking.
Right.
Threatening our little...
our society or what we want to do, you know. Of course. And while we're talking, we understand that the heart deferred from hope is sick.
Mm.
It's sick. And we don't want to leave the show without giving you some hope. Mm-hmm. About, yes, one day Christ will return. Yes, tomorrow may be, things may happen a little worse than they did today or yesterday. But that's how the scripture has written out the time of the end. And I opened the show with optimism. Optimism is a mental attitude reflecting a belief or hope that the outcome of some specific endeavor or outcomes in general will be positive. So we still want to be positive, we still want to be favorable, and we still want to be desirable of things being better, or us being more brave to go out to the stores, like we were talking yesterday.
Yeah.
We just go hibernate,
well,
like there.
I'm just
going to
go shopping here. I hope I don't get shot.
Right, right. And being optimistic is the typical sense of the word. It's defined as expecting the best possible outcome from any situation. Let me get this. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Linda.
Hi, you're
Linda. Could you have Terry call it, come down and open the door?
Oh, okay. Will do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could you let him know for me? To be optimistic is to have some hope that we will be able to hold our heads up and walk like men and women of God as His creation is intended, that we will be able to share the good news with someone else, that one day Christ is going to return and we do want to be ready to meet Him. We do need our children ready to meet Him, because we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. That is the hope that we want to share with you. That is the hope we want to give to you. That those are words of comfort that we can give to you today. That we can expect the best possible outcome of any given situation. You know, a little bit here and a little bit there. And however it turns out, we want to be hopeful. That we can be a hope or a help to our brother or our sister in Christ Jesus. And maybe you're not even in Christ, but still, we would like to be a hope to you and give you words of comfort, because, you know, God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would have everlasting life. That's how much He loves you. He
yes.
gave up everything for you. He left heaven for you. He left His majestic realm for you. Now,
yes.
who else would love you that much?
He
that
was
he
wounded
would put,
for our
yes,
transgressions.
And bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace is upon Him. And this is something else. By His stripes
right.
and His stripes alone, we are healed.
That's right.
Whatever may be you may be confronted with, it may be cancer, it may be sickness, your lungs or your heart, your hands, feet, whatever, pancreas, you are healed by Christ's stripes. He received those stripes across His back that you would be healed. So He wants you to claim your healing in the name of Jesus.
Also, if you know, if you're sitting there on death row, maybe, you know, all of your sins can be, Jesus said all sins and blasphemies will be forgiven, man. No matter, and your all of your sins can be forgiven, no matter how serious. And a lot of people can't accept that, you know.
Yes.
But it is the truth. If He didn't forgive all sins, no matter how serious, then He didn't forgive any. You know, so He doesn't judge. He doesn't judge like we do. It was His blood that was spilled, and it's His judgment that is held back. because of his blood, his cleansing blood. So if you're in prison, don't give up. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and be born again. You know, a lot of times if you look at it just right, it's the people who have done a tremendous amount of evil that end up in heaven because they realize that, you know, that they need a Savior. They've gone too far with their evil, and they realize that there's only one hope, and that is for it all to be erased before they stand before God.
Right, right.
If you think man's judgment's bad, you know, going to prison or facing a death sentence, wait until you stand before God. You're facing eternity.
Don't want to do that, and I'm not ready.
No. So you need to have his name written.
You need to be ready.
And the book of life, you need to have your name written in the book of life. Why don't you just pray with me?
Amen.
If you're listening to us tonight, Lord Jesus,
Son of God,
come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be born again.
I want to have my name written in the book of life.
And I want to walk with you through eternity. And I thank you for your great sacrifice on the cross. That I may join your kingdom forever and ever.
Amen. And this, I want to give you this little tidbit in our last few seconds. As you enter this new year, 2020, 7 habits of optimistic people. Express gratitude. Be appreciative of big blessings. Donate your time and energy to others that need it. Be interested in other people and where they are in their lives and how you may be able to help them to be better about what they're doing and where they're going. Surround yourself with upbeat people. Don't listen to naysayers and forgive others and smile. It's 2020 in a few more hours. 2020.
We can start over.
Yeah, how does that sound? 2020. Yes.
All right. Like
thank 50, you for being my plus. Guest today, Jeff. I really enjoyed you today. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People. And like I said, Happy New Year to each and every one of you. And I hope you continue to listen to the program. We're looking to a great year with great new topics and new guests to share with you in this coming new year. And as I said again, Happy New Year. Are you going to watch the ball drop?
If I could stay awake.
Yeah, I know that's right. And it's cold outside and we're not in New York, but we can watch that on TV and watch it fall.
Yeah, I watch it on TV quite often.
Okay.
I switch the TV around to see what other channels are doing.
So don't forget to be optimistic, stay full of hope,
yes,
and be confident that the Lord.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio. For legendary Emmy Award-winning actor, best known for his role of Lou Grant on The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ed Asner.
You have always lived a very public life, certainly since Mary Tyler Moore. Is that tough when people constantly come up to you, say hello, want to take your pic, especially with cell phones? Everybody's got a picture, a phone. And
can, yeah.
Is anything private?
No, no, not much private. But I'm a I'm a publicity.
Really?
So I drop my pants at the slightest provocation. I shouldn't. I should have been more circumspect in how I deal with the public. But I just so want to be loved that I drop all reserve. And I shouldn't.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marian Moments. Florence Mabel Harding was the First Lady of the United States from 1921 to 1923 as the wife of President Warren G. Harding. Known as the Duchess, she adapted well to the White House, where she gave notably elegant parties. She was the first First Lady to vote, operate a movie camera, own a radio, hold her own press conferences, and invite movie stars to the White House. Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. Listen for guests like Joey DeOria, WGN-TV's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same. I'll tell you one quick story. My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant, and my wife said something funny, and I laughed, and the laugh was, you know, which was pretty much my Bozo laugh. And my wife said, "You're not going to believe this, but three kids just stood on their chairs and started looking around."
I love it.
But no, the Bozo voice was right about here. And it was a lot more adenoidal than mine. And that was pretty much it. You know, of course, we had the standard, "Hey, that's me!" Which I did as a more of a yell war cry than yell.
And the grand prize game. Oh my goodness! How could we ever forget that?
Yeah. I would drive the my producer crazy sometimes. We always had to start with the same thing, which was, "Are you all set for lots of fun and fabulous prizes?" And of course, the audience would yell yes. And then I would have to go in with the same line, "Well, get ready, because it's now time to play Bozo's Grand Prize." Well, one day, I don't know, I was feeling devilish. And I went, "Are you all set for lots of fun and fabulous prizes?" And the audience went, "Yeah!" And I went, "Well, what about me? What about my knee?"
And the original Doctor of Love, Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
This is an important point. Fall in love. What is Dr. Ruth's definition of love?
I don't have a real definition. Everybody has to work out their own. But I would say a part of it would be that you are glad when that person walks into the room where you are at. That you have a kind of a fluttering in your heart that person that you really like and appreciate and want to work a relationship with is walking into that room. So it's like a little spark.
Is Dr. Ruth
in a happy relationship?
Good question. What is your next question, Scott? About my personal life.
We're going to dig right in, Doctor.
But I have to...
Our president, you have met. You've met Donald Trump.
Not only that, there was a very short time a commercial where I greeted him because he was the marshal some years ago of the Israeli Day Parade in New York City, where I, of course, participate every year. And there was a commercial that I greeted him. That's true. Not only that, he knows me.
Yes, absolutely.
But I don't get involved in politics.
No, not in politics. But as a human being, what kind of person is he in person?
Next question.
Okie doke. We will go right along. We won't even stop. The tires are squealing away from that one.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday on WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, 1210 to 2 p.m. Join us, won't you?
This is Charlie Evers, and you're listening to WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, streaming live on the Internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, and clicking Like for exclusive content.
And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Ted, did you know President Warren G. Harding was from Marion, Ohio?
Yes, I did. I passed by his home on the way to the station today, but he wasn't home.
Well, Ted, he's been dead for quite some time.
That doesn't excuse bad manner. He could have left a bundt cake. They get better with age.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
Hello. If you listen and enjoy A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, help A Voice of a People to be better. A $10 donation a week pledge will support and sponsor A Voice of a People. In so by doing, you will have the privilege of your name, business, organization, church, or your favorite charity mentioned or announced during our broadcast and entered into a drawing which will be held weekly. Prizes will vary. I also want to say this, anonymous donators are welcome and will be respected. Remember, if you want to make A Voice of a People a better program, a $10 a week donation / pledge will support and sponsor A Voice of a People.
A Voice of a People with Linda Sims can be heard twice weekly on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Monday and Tuesday from 4:10 p.m. to 5 p.m.
This is Earl Fitzamerican. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the Internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address, 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number, 740-387-9050.
It's now time for WWGH News. News about people, places, and plans. Brought to you live from the WWGH Newsroom.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center wishing you a very happy and healthy new year. And now, turning to news,
The following closures and modifications in operational schedules for city offices are being announced for the New Year's holiday week. Many departments will be utilizing vacation time on Tuesday, December 31st. Therefore, residents are highly encouraged to call to ensure the office relevant to their needs will be open. All offices in City Hall will be closed on Wednesday, January 1st, in observance of the New Year's holiday. Sanitation collection will not take place on Wednesday, January 1st. Residents with Wednesday sanitation service are asked to have their collections at curbside by 7 a.m. on Thursday, January 2nd. Crews will collect both Wednesday and Thursday's refuse on Thursday. Sanitation crews will also be collecting live Christmas trees through the month of January. Live Christmas trees should be placed at curbside on the residents' trash collection day. All lights and decorations must be removed from the tree, and the tree should not be wrapped in plastic. Marion Area Transit will be closed on Wednesday, January 1st, 2020. Marion Senior Center will be closed on Tuesday.